Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. And we are just really excited to be back here today with Gretchen from Boxy Colonial. And she's got a fantastic episode lined up for us all about Chattanooga. And she's going to get into the history. She's going to get into the gentrification. She's going to tell us where to get craft beer. She's going to tell us where to camp. Really good stuff. So we're going to dive right in with her in a second. But before we do that, we need to thank our sponsors, Jayco and Thetford.
RV Atlas is sponsored by Thetford, making RV travel a more enjoyable experience for over 50 years. Visit Thetford.com to see a complete lineup of products. And we are also proudly sponsored by Jayco. Jayco has helped generation after generation create family memories since 1968. Offering travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, Class C and Class A motorhomes, it's easy to find the perfect Jayco for your family. With an industry-leading two-year limited warranty, beautiful design, and innovative safety features, you can be confident in your Jayco. Visit your local Jayco dealer or Jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome to the show, Gretchen.
Hi, guys.
Great to have you back. And you are so, you're like so clutch on these trip planners because you guys are really road warriors. Just give everybody, maybe any of our new listeners, just a quick rundown, your family, what you travel in, how you travel.
Okay, we've got a family of six, although my oldest is off at college now, but we have four boys, and we have a Jayco toy hauler, the same one that you guys used to have, and my husband's a high school teacher, and I homeschool the kids, so I'm home, so we have done the past few years a lot of long summer trips. We're having a little bit more trouble getting out during the year with school stuff and kid activities. But we try to at least do the long trips during the summer, and we've been able to fit a lot of those in.
Gretchen, that makes you relatable to a lot of people listening. We got an email the other day from somebody saying, oh my God, I really relate to you guys because you work and you find time to travel. So you guys get in a lot, and we're just so excited to talk to you today about Chattanooga because we haven't been. I would love to go, and I feel like you've just made this trip planner just for us. So you want to get us started a little bit and just give us some of the background about this great city in Tennessee?
Sure. So Chattanooga is kind of a local destination for us. It's about 2 hours. We're just north of Atlanta, and it's about 2 hours from Atlanta, also about 2 hours from Nashville, and it's right on 75. So if you're coming down 75 or doing that 81 to 75 route down the coast, then it's a really convenient place to stop. So Chattanooga is, like a lot of cities, used to be a really industrial city. And then when deindustrialization started to happen, it ran into some trouble with its economy, and also because of its location, it's in a valley between some mountains, it was also really polluted because of those years of industry, and it was named, the EPA called it the dirtiest city in America in, I think, 1969.
Yikes.
That's rough. I don't think they should do that.
That's not nice.
I don't think the EPA should call, even if it's true, I don't think they should be calling anybody. It's just such a downer. How does that help?
Well, apparently it did help because I guess Chattanooga took it as a challenge, and they've really reinvented themselves as they have a lot of technological innovations going on. I think they have internet for the whole city, and they have, they're the only city with its own font, which is kind of cool, and also as a big tourist destination. But you can go there and there's tons to do. You could spend a week there, but it never feels like just a tourist town. It's just a really nice small city that also has a whole lot going on for tourists and visitors.
Yeah, I've definitely seen this popping up over the last few years in some of those articles, like new places to move to, or like really fun places for 20-something-year-olds to start careers. You know, like those random articles in USA Today and everything. This tends to really attract
some
attention.
Places where hip young people live, but you can't move to. So tell us where to stay if we're going to go to visit. What are some campground options?
Okay, there's several campgrounds there. We've actually stayed at four different campgrounds in the area, and they've all been fine. But the two that I would recommend the most are Raccoon Mountain Caverns and Campground. That's a private campground about 15 minutes outside of downtown, and then also about 15 minutes from the attractions on Lookout Mountain, which are kind of the two big areas where you're going to be spending a lot of time if you go to Chattanooga. They have RV and tent sites, and they also have some cabin rentals. And it's a really nice setting. There's views of Lookout Mountain and Raccoon Mountain. And they have a lot of amenities. They have, I guess they just redid their pool. It's a saltwater pool now. They have a playground. They have some hiking trails there, basketball court, all that kind of thing. And they also, an interesting feature is on site, there is a cave system. And they offer tours of Raccoon Caverns, which we actually have never done. I think there's a discount for people staying at the campground. So we have to get to that one of these days. But it's kind of cool that you can just walk up the hill and there's a cave tour you can do while you're camping.
And the prices here seem pretty affordable for a private campground.
Yeah, I was looking it up last night. We haven't stayed. We've stayed there twice, but it's been a little while. But it looks like for the full hookups, around $45 to $50 a night.
Now, Gretchen, you had also in a previous podcast that we did on state parks in Georgia, you had mentioned another nearby campground that you guys really liked, Cloudland Canyon State Park, right?
Right. This is actually a Georgia state park because Chattanooga is right on the state line. So you go back over the border and up the mountain into Georgia, and you have Cloudland Canyon, which is a really beautiful state park with tons of great hiking, nice waterfalls. You hike down into the canyon, and then there's two really beautiful waterfalls down there. And that one is, it's about 30 minutes outside of Chattanooga, but it is kind of a long drive down the mountain and then back up. So it's a little more remote. I would think that would be a great place to stay if you mostly want that state park vacation, but you want to be able to get into town for dinner to see, you know, maybe spend a day in Chattanooga seeing the sights down there, but be able to sort of get away from the city while you're camping.
So you're not going to be in and out every day at this state park, probably. If you want to go in and out every day, you probably want to stay at the, you know, at the private campground. And if you kind of want to go in maybe once or twice, you can stay at this state park.
Right. That's how I would do it. Yeah.
Now, is this one okay for bigger rigs, or is it more of a campground for people with sort of smaller RVs?
No, yeah, we've been there with the toy hauler. I mean, it is, you're going up that mountain, which can be a little scary if you're not used to mountain driving, but it's nothing we had any trouble with our we have a 34-foot toy hauler. There's a couple different loops. One of them is kind of more wooded, and I think the people with smaller RVs like that loop better because it's more private. We stayed in the more open one, and we didn't have – the sites were really easy to get into, and that's also kind of closer to the visitor center and everything. So there are some advantages to that one too.
All right. So, Gretchen, now let's dive into what we're going to do when we visit Chattanooga. What are some of the highlights for your family?
Okay, and I have a long list, but I'm not even touching the surface. There's plenty of other things I could have put on here, but one of the big attractions that you'll hear about a lot is the Tennessee Aquarium. There's two big buildings here that kind of dominate the riverfront, and one of them is the River Journey, which is the one I remember from when I was a kid that they built. That's I think it was the only freshwater aquarium in the United States or something like that when they built it, and it focuses on aquatic life in rivers, which is kind of unusual because Chattanooga is on a river and not on the ocean, so that's what they focused on. But then I think when the Georgia Aquarium opened in Atlanta a few years later, they built a second building to kind of compete with that, which is the Ocean Journey building. And so that one focuses on ocean life, obviously. So they're both really fun to go through. The River Journey has otters, which is always great. And the Ocean Journey has penguins. So You get your full of adorable animals in either one.
I could watch otters for days. Now, let me ask you this, Gretchen. Like, you have a larger family, and some of these things, when they have the entrance fees, can be a little overwhelming. I know we have three kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it costs us so much when we have that ticketed entrance fee. Do you guys do anything in terms of memberships to kind of mitigate that when you travel, or do you just kind of suck it up because, especially as a homeschooler, like, this is part of your kids', you know, educational experience?
Right. Well, the aquarium is actually cheaper for us to buy a membership by like a couple dollars than to pay to get in once. So we do have a membership to the Tennessee Aquarium just because we went there, and we might as well. We haven't, I don't know if we'll make it back before the membership expires, but the Tennessee Aquarium is so much cheaper, is expensive, but it's so much cheaper than the Georgia Aquarium that it seems cheap to us.
Right.
But you can spend a surprising amount of money in Chattanooga. When I was looking through my list of things to do, I was thinking about that. And there's a children's museum that you can get a membership that's reciprocal for that one. But I don't think they have one that works with like the Aztec Science Museum, which is one we use a lot. With the places I'm talking about today, there's not a lot you can do with memberships to save money.
Okay, so pretty much we're going down this long list, but really for you guys, you might pick a couple to do in each trip to help kind of budget those expenses on a vacation.
Right.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yep. Because I was thinking the same thing when I'm looking down your list. I'm thinking, this is kind of an expensive place.
Right, it definitely can be. But yeah, for us, it's more of a weekend trip. I think for most people, it's a weekend trip. So you're not going to do everything in that weekend. You're going to do maybe one big budget thing. And then, you know, there's hiking in the area and that kind of thing. And there are some things that are not going to cost you $1 million that we'll get to too.
Like minor league baseball. And I really love that you included that, because if there is a minor league park when we are traveling, we always go. It's one of our favorite things to do as a family. So tell us a little bit about the Chattanooga Lookouts.
It's a double A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, and the stadium is right downtown. We actually have not been. It's on my list of things I really want to get to, because it is just right in that downtown area with the aquarium and some of the other things. So you could make a really great day going around to these different attractions and then finishing up with a day at the, or an evening at the ballpark.
Now, you mentioned, I think, already the Children's Museum. Tell us a little bit more about the Creative Discovery Museum.
This is a really great children's museum. I think it's one of our favorite. We've been to a lot, and it's one of our favorites. Really big. It's got like two or three stories. So it has some of the typical things. It has a big water play area. It has a area up on the roof, which is fun, where you can do simple machine play. So I would say up to probably about 10, but older kids will get something out of it too. I've dragged my teenagers along, and they've grudgingly had a good time too.
Oh, your kids are good sports.
Now, I think I've seen pictures of the Walnut Street Pedestrian Bridge in those articles that I've mentioned. I think that a lot of them feature a picture of the river with the bridge over it. Is this something that you like have to walk across or experience when you're there?
I think so. We really enjoy doing it. I think you can bike across it too, but it's not super long. It starts in the downtown area, and then goes across the Tennessee River to, I guess they call it the North Shore. And it's just a fun walk. I mean, little kids can do it. It's not that long that pretty much anyone can't do it. And then when you get to the North Shore, there's Coolidge Park, which is a big park on the river with a historic carousel that they've restored. And there's also a fountain where there's like different animal sculptures that spit out water at you, and you can play in there if it's a warm day. And then there's shops and restaurants over there too. So it's a nice little outing. And again, one that you're not going to spend a bunch of money on. So
now, okay, I know I've heard about the Chattanooga Choo Choo, and I literally have no idea what it is or why I have that in my brain. So why is that something that this Jersey girl knows is sort of a thing, but knows nothing about?
You've probably at some point heard the song and have that stuck in your subconscious. I'm not going to sing it, but there's a famous Chattanooga Choo Choo song where the train in that song ends up in Chattanooga at the train station. So today on the south side of Chattanooga, the train station was restored. I think they were going to tear it down in like the early 70s, but then there was a movement to save it, and now it's a hotel and kind of an entertainment complex. It was a Holiday Inn for a while, but now it's They've got all kinds of things. They have like a comedy club and music venues there. So you can go in. I believe the old train station itself is the hotel lobby, and I think there's a restaurant in there. But then there's also, again, shops and restaurants outside. They have old train cars restored as hotel rooms. So if you're not camping, you can stay in one of those Pullman cars. And there's nice gardens there, kind of in between the train platforms. They've planted all these gardens. And the kids can, there's like a train engine the kids can climb on. So it's kind of a fun place to go, especially if you have kids into who are into trains, but also just if you want to go see the train station and eat at a restaurant down there. It's a nice area that they've done a lot with.
And those are the Glenn Miller Gardens. I'm wondering if the famous jazz musician Glenn Miller was from Chattanooga. I'm going to have to look that up now.
I'm not sure, because I just was looking at it last night. I don't remember when I've been there, the gardens being called the Glenn Miller Gardens. I think that's a new thing, and I'm not sure what the inspiration was. But.
All right. Tell us about the Incline Railway. We've got more train action here.
Yes, the terrifying Incline Railway, if you're me. So the Incline Railway pretty much just takes you right up the side. You can drive up Lookout Mountain, but if you want to get up there a little faster and in a more exciting way, it's a funicular railway, which I guess means it works on, I'm not sure how it works, but like a pulley system. One goes up while the other one's going down, or there's two tracks. So it pulls you right up the mountain at a 72.7% grade. So, I mean, it pretty much feels like you're just going straight up.
Oh, and, for how long? Is it a long ride?
It's a mile. So it seemed, I've done it once. It seemed long to me, but I was with other people who did not find it so scary, but yeah.
And then when you're going down, it's like you're plummeting back to Earth.
Is it go pretty slow?
It does go slow, yeah.
I'm not sure if I'd want to do that.
I know. That's I'm on the fence on that. I mean, like, you know, in the White Mountains, that was hard enough for me. I don't.
Driving up Mount Washington was totally white knuckle for sure.
I've had my fill of white knuckle experiences going up mountains, I think, maybe. We'll see.
All right. Now we have some NPS sites too, the Chattanooga National Military Park. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. If you do take the Incline Railway or if you drive up Lookout Mountain, right down the street from the Incline Railway Station is the Chattanooga National Military Park. This is actually part of, it's like two areas of the same park. There's also Chickamauga, which is down the mountain. But that one is just sort of straight battlefield and kind of boring for kids unless they're really into the Civil War, and for me, who's not really into battlefields either. But up on top of the mountain, the Chattanooga unit of that is really nice because you can watch a movie in the visitor center, you can get your Junior Ranger book, you can do all that, but there's also Point Park is part of it, which has some really great views from overhead of downtown Chattanooga. So it's a nice sort of short loop that you can make around the park. There's old cannons and you just get those great views. So that one is a really fun one for anyone.
Talk to me about underground waterfalls. Like, this sounds ridiculously amazing. I want to know more.
Okay, so the other attraction, one of the other things to do up on Lookout Mountain is Ruby Falls, which is an underground cavern. So you start by taking an elevator very far underground into the mountain, and then you take a short guided walk through the cave, and you end up at a 145-foot underground waterfall. They say it's like the tallest commercially operated underground waterfall, which it seems like they're kind of grasping for something to be
for something to say that
but
they
you
are.
Just need to say underground waterfall. And you had me at underground waterfall.
Commercially operated. I love it.
some bureaucrat.
Okay, so I'm wondering if, like, so it seems to me like you take the railway up, you visit the NPS site in the military park, you take the elevator down. Like, is all of that a full day, Gretchen, or is that more of like a half day?
No, it would be a full day. And we're not done with Lookout Mountain yet. But, and also you can't, to be clear, I think the NPS site is the only place you can really walk to from the Incline Railway. You would need to drive up Lookout Mountain. Ruby Falls is on another part of the mountain.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you can't even necessarily combine them all.
Right. They do sell, you can buy a ticket. Speaking of saving some money, you can buy a combined ticket for Ruby Falls, the Incline Railway, and Rock City, which I'll talk about in a minute. that'll save you a few dollars. But yeah, I don't know that there's a reasonable way to get from the Incline Railway to Ruby Falls except with a car.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So then, like, you might want to do, and then you're going to tell us more about Rock City, you might want to do all of that stuff and then just save the Incline Railway for another time on its own or something.
You could do that, or you could do the other things on Rock City. You could drive up there and then do the Incline Railway in reverse, like take it down and then back up.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting idea. All right. So then what is Rock City all about?
Rock City is I guess it was someone's private garden. There's all these rock formations that are naturally there, and then they kind of enhanced them with gardens and sort of some kind of weird, kitschy fairy tale figures and gnomes that are in there. It's hard to explain, but you walk through on this pathway and you see all the rock formations, and there's some really beautiful views. You're up on a big rock overlooking the valley, and they have a swinging bridge going over a gorge and all of that. But then there's also, again, all the kind of kitschy, the fairy tale caverns where they have all these day glow, bright, painted figures from grim fairy tales and stuff. So it's some natural beauty mixed with some really kitschy fun.
Gretchen, this city sounds kind of like it's ideal for you and your personal tastes. There's, you know, a little bit of history, a little bit of kind of hipster charm, outdoorsy. I'm just so impressed by this city. I'm really hoping we can get here in the next few years for an RV trip. And it really feels like it could sustain a whole week's vacation, don't you think?
Yeah, you definitely could spend a week there.
All right, we are going to come back in 1 second, and Gretchen is going to tell us where to eat and where to drink. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
A big thanks to Thetford. They are the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for more than 50 years. Now, we really believe that using products that have been researched and formulated specifically for RVs does make a difference in the longevity of, you know, keeping your tanks in tip-top operating condition, not having any odors in your RV. A lot of people think that it's just the black tank that gives off odors, but really we've learned over the years that it's the gray tank oftentimes, or the freshwater tank. When people don't use the right products to clean all of their tanks, odors can really quickly become a big problem, and nobody wants to be in a really small contained space with bad smells. Ask me how I know.
Kind of miraculous that Stephanie goes camping with her four boys.
Because I have to, you know, I mean, that I can combat the dirty socks smell, the boy smell, but, you know, tank smell takes it to a whole nother
products keep
level.
Stephanie safe from our smells.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really, really easy if you use the right products. We, with our black tanks, use a simple AquaChem toss-in. We get one big bucket of these toss-ins at the beginning of the camping season, and it lasts us throughout, because every time we empty our black tanks, we just throw a toss-in along with a gallon of water into our black tank, and literally we never have black tank odors, you know, along with a good black tank flush that Jeremy does every once in a while. I'm not going to take any credit for a black tank flush, but I do put the drop-ins in with the gallon of water. I'm good at that.
If you ever want to come back there and do the black tank flush with me, it would be nice.
Okay, all right, we could spend some time together. Now, there's also the gray tank cleaners, fresh water tank sanitizers, and the tank blaster to keep the level gauges in operating condition. You can see a complete lineup of products at Thetford.com and also over at our Amazon shop. We've tried to put in a lot of the products that we use on every RV trip over there in our Amazon shop.
All right, Gretchen, this sounds like a great city for food and drink. So enlighten us. Where should we get started? It sounds like we're going to be nice and hungry after doing all this sightseeing.
Yes, definitely. So one of our favorites that's been open for a while, when you're down seeing the Choo Choo, there is the Terminal Brew House, which is in an old restored building. And they have kind of, they make beer, so they have really good beer. And then they also have food, and it's not your typical bar menu so much. They do a little bit of creative stuff with that. So that's a fun place to eat. Good for kids, but also a little bit more interesting for adults.
I like pizza. I'm from New Jersey.
Do they really make pizza down in Tennessee?
Do they make pizza in Tennessee? make the case.
Okay, well, Loopy's Pizza Pies is right downtown. It's got a great location. So after you go to the aquarium, this is where you can head. They've been around since 1996, so people in Chattanooga like them anyway. I can't promise that it competes with New Jersey pizza, but it's pretty good stuff.
We have to be good at something, Gretchen.
Oh, we've had plenty of good pizza around the country. We just like to tease everybody. We're always shocked by it. We're always like, that's good pizza.
Well, and just so we don't sound obnoxious, like, it's really hard to get good barbecue around here. Like, we've never found a great barbecue joint. So I would totally try Loopy's pizza pies. But what do we want for dessert afterwards?
Once you walk across the Walnut Street Bridge, you're going to need some ice cream, of course. And Klumpy's Ice Cream Company, they actually have four different locations around Chattanooga, but there's one right on the North Shore on the other side of the bridge, and it's just really great handcrafted ice cream. And they have a really cute logo, too, so you can't go wrong.
Now, Gretchen, you know, for all of our people that are maybe driving in a motorhome without a towed, or if you have a big tow vehicle like our F-250 that we hate, you know, trying to park in downtown cities, I hear there's an easier way to get around Chattanooga.
There is. When I was talking about this with my husband, Dave, last night, he wanted to make sure I really emphasized how great the free shuttle in Chattanooga is. So here is my emphasis. It's great. They have an electric shuttle that runs downtown. It runs every 5 minutes, and it'll take you from the area near the aquarium, that riverfront area, to the Chattanooga Choo Choo. And, you know, so it just makes a loop all day long, and it stops pretty much every block. And again, it's free, so, you know, give it a try.
And it seems like, I'm sure that there's a big, wide open parking spot at that area for any large tow vehicles.
Parking is surprisingly challenging in Chattanooga. So,
even at the aquarium, it's challenging.
The aquarium, I don't think they have a dedicated lot, but it's very small. We've never actually been able to park at the aquarium. There are downtown pay lots. But no, I would not bring a giant motorhome or a trailer downtown.
Okay.
You want to leave to the campground, and then you can Uber to the free shuttle maybe if you do not have a way to get a smaller car downtown.
Good. Tip.
All right, everybody, if you were listening to this in the car while you were working out and you want to just kind of review everything that Gretchen just went through, go over to the rvatlas.com and check the show notes for this episode. It'll all be there. We'll have links there. There'll be photos there, etc.
And I also want to say that there's also links in that article on the rvatlas.com to all of Gretchen's blog posts on this. Gretchen is really good at doing in-depth travel posts on all of these places that she comes on our show to talk about. I'm always so impressed, Gretchen, at how you take your time over the course of the year writing really detailed blog posts on like every single one of the places your family goes to. It's really helpful, I know, for people that are doing their planning.
Yeah, it keeps me busy over the winter too when we're not going there.
I can always tell that that's like your winter, that's your winterization blues therapy, right? Is writing your blog posts about your travels.
Gretchen, tell us everywhere that our listeners can find you to follow you on social media, and give us your website name one more time as well.
Okay, my travel blog is boxycolonialontheroad.com, and I'm Boxy Colonial on the Road pretty much everywhere. Instagram, I think I'm Boxy Colonial on Pinterest, Facebook, Boxy Colonial on the Road.
All right. So go find her, everybody.
Gretchen,
we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.